And so that's going to be obviously going to be good. I mean, he was up at the top there, so he's the guy. Find out what the Brits know. Now, after this weekend, I'm going to be gone for a couple of weekends. I'm going to get a bit of a change of scenery. So I'll be gone for a couple weekends. Let's look at the world news. The French are once again rioting. They seem to do a lot of rioting in France. They have a lot of time on their hands. Police loosed water cannons and tear gas on rioting students and activists who rampaged through a McDonald's, figures, right? They'd hit a McDonald's, and attacked storefronts in the capital Saturday as demonstrations against a plan to relax job protections. Oh, that's what it is, you see. The French are guaranteed their jobs. They have, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks vacation every year. They've got it really good, and so they want to relax the job protections. And of course they're rioting about that, and my kitty cats are batting their heads. You can hear, if I turned up the audio. Now he's not doing it. Little head was hitting the door pretty hard there. All right. Anti-war rallies mark Iraq anniversary. Thousands of anti-war protesters took to the streets around the world on Saturday, making the third anniversary of the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, with demands that coalition troops leave right now. The Arab Muslim League Federation had addressed more than 1,000 people who gathered in Times Square near a military recruiting station, which was guarded by the police. Anybody out there remember, why did we start that war? What the hell was it? Why'd we go to war in Iraq? Something about weapons of mass destruction? Or, there we go. I guess you can't hear it. Mike won't pick it up. Little pause, and let me try here. Let's see if I can get over by the door and then talk more about the war here. Let's see if you can actually hear anything. Yeti, is that you? Now see him will do a thing because I'm talking to him. That is so funny. Let me get everything back together here. Okay, back to the war. Here, let me turn that down. Back to the war. Why did we start that war? Why did we go to war in Iraq? Weapons of mass destruction. Well, I guess they're not there, so it couldn't have been it. Now, because Saddam was being so mean to his people. That one doesn't exactly hold up because, you know, there's mean dictators all over the world and they're mean to their people. You know, if that was the reason, we'd been at war in Cambodia a long time ago. Stop the killing fields. Much worse than anything that went on in Iraq. And then there was oil. It probably was oil, right? But we didn't say that and we don't say that. We dare not speak the word oil. I'd have a lot more respect. I hear that door. I'm going to have to give it up. I've got a loose wire under there, and if I let the cats in, they will, well, hell, there's no choice. Fine. Come on in. What the hell? There's a little wire under there, and if the cat hits it, it'll start humming. But there's obviously, I'm not going to keep them out. So I'd have had a lot more respect for our government if, you know, if we'd said, well, it's the oil. Our country runs on oil. We've had a bad policy of not pursuing other alternative methods of energy, and so we need oil, and so we're going to go invade Iraq. I had more respect for him. Louisiana, it seems, once, you know, coastal folk, I mean, they just love that bayou country. Trouble is now, they're leaving since the storms. They're leaving in droves, actually leaving the place forever. By the way, today's score is Navy 1, Pirates 0. Our Navy, United Arab Emirates, is where the story comes from. Two U.S. Navy warships Two of them, mind you, exchanged gunfire with a suspected pirate ship off the coast of Somalia. Now, you got to see this ship. It's sort of like a rowboat plus. So I'm sure that that probably the pirates fired first, which was really stupid. Firing on a U.S. Navy ship is just, under any circumstances, stupid. But being in a rowboat and having, you know, maybe a grenade launcher or something like that, really, really stupid. So two U.S. Navy ships opened up on them. Pirates, mind you. And I think we killed one and captured five, and they were not happy at all. So Navy 1, Pirate 0. Oh, here, you're going to love this. Then we'll do a break. It's tempting to blame big food companies for America's big obesity problem. After all, they're the folks who supersized our fries, family portioned our potato chips, and big gulped our sodas, right? There's also the billions they've spent keeping their products ever on our minds and in our mouths, likened by some to the way tobacco companies seduced smokers. Such practices have made the food industry the target of lawsuits and legislation seeking to yank junk food from schools and curb advertising to children. That's how it begins, right? It began that way with cigarettes. They stopped advertising to children, aiming it at young people, and then pretty soon TV ads were illegal, and then I think billboards became illegal, and now it's going to be food. So they'll rip that Big Mac from your hands. Soon, not just smokers will be, well, how are we thought of these days, smokers? As we're pariahs, let's just say it, pariahs. And so now it's going to be, you know, if you're seen with a Big Mac or maybe some McNuggets or, I don't know, something from Wendy's, dripping, and you've got it in your hand, and somebody, some food cop will come up, and I don't know what they'll do. Probably eventually arrest you, make you eat it out on the street, not near any young people who might be influenced by seeing you down a Big Mac. Oh, America, America. We'll be right back. We're going to open line shortly, but, you know, the news goes downhill from there. The first story's headline from The Independent in Great Britain, is where you get these things, you see, from Great Britain, we don't publish them, says climate change irreversible as Arctic Sea ice fails to reform. See, that's got to catch your attention right away. Think about it. Climate change irreversible, that's in little quotations, as Arctic sea ice fails to reform. Now, that should get your attention. Sea ice in the Arctic has failed to reform for the second consecutive winter, raising fears that global warming may have tipped the polar regions into irreversible climate change far sooner than predicted. Now, that's a big word, irreversible. Irreversible, meaning the poles are going and you can't stop it. Satellite measurements of the area of the Arctic covered by sea ice show that for every month this winter, the ice failed to return even to its long-term average rate of decline. It is the second consecutive winter that sea ice has not managed to reform enough to compensate for the unprecedented melting during the summers. Scientists are now convinced the Arctic sea ice is showing signs of both a winter and a summer decline that could indicate a major acceleration in its long-term rate of disappearance. The greatest fear is that an environmental positive feedback has now already kicked in, where global warming melts ice, which in itself then causes the seas to get warmer further as more sunlight is absorbed by the darker ocean rather than reflected by the white ice. Less white ice, less reflection, more dark water, more absorption, more melting, and the whole thing becomes a runaway feedback cycle. Mark Sorens, a sea ice specialist at the U.S. National Snow and Ice Data Center in Colorado, said in September 2005, the Arctic sea ice cover was at its lowest extent since satellite monitoring began. First satellite we had to do that in 1979. Probably the lowest in the last 100 years. And he said, well, we can't be certain. It sure does look like 2006 is more of the same. Unless conditions turn colder, much colder, we may be headed for another year of big sea ice losses, rivaling or even perhaps exceeding what we saw in September of 2005. We are, of course, monitoring the situation closely. But again, the headline is climate change irreversible as Arctic sea ice fails to reform. Now, from there, we go on to even better stuff like bird flu to hit the U.S. within 3 weeks. I'll cover the details tomorrow night. Or is Siberian thaw the beginning of climate tipping point? That also from Great Britain. So much is coming from, and then from BBC. Let's see, U.S. climate scientists have recorded a significant rise in the concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, pushing it to a record new level. BBC News has learned the latest data shows CO2 levels now stand at 381 parts per million, 100 parts per million above the pre-industrial average. Oh, by the way, tomorrow night, I think it's tomorrow night on 60 Minutes, there's going to be a very, very interesting segment in which the man that we have not heard from on the climate is going to speak. So we're going to hear something tomorrow night. I urge you not to miss 60 Minutes tomorrow night. One of the segments will have that climate scientist on. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. I have a possible solution to your cat problem in your radio room.
There is no solution.
Let's hear it. Read a couple of articles where people have built shelf ledges around the upper part of their rooms because cats love sitting up high where it's warmer.
That's true.
And the other thing about cats, when you're on the telephone...
So what are you saying? Build little perches for them?
Well, they built a shelf that went all the way around the room in like a little... Little steps, like it'd be like a knick-knack shelf,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was for the cats.
Yeah.
And anyways, the other thing, when you're on the telephone, cats don't know what a phone is. They hear you talking. They think you're talking to them. And why aren't you paying attention to them?
Well,
that's why they're always bugging you when you're on the phone.
I have five of them. So close your eyes and try and imagine what it's like to have five cats. Every one of them a darling. But they all, well, there is something about a closed door that causes alarms to go off in a little cat brain. Inside that little furry head, alarm bells go off, and doors must not be closed, and whatever's going on the other side of that closed door is obviously more interesting than where they are. So even though they have the entire house to roam and trouble to get in, it is that one room they must get in. In that case, my studio. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Hey.
I want to know, there's a lot of things I'd love to talk to you about, but I want to know, if you were to talk to somebody from the future, let's just say that's me, what would be the one science question you'd absolutely want to know, first and foremost?
By what date the planet becomes uninhabitable for man?
That's a science question?
It certainly is, yes.
Oh, I thought you were a time travel guy. I was hoping you'd go that way. But the date itself is one that is not absolute. You're looking for something that's absolute, and that's never going to be the case. Because that would
well,
take
unless
the...
you're a time traveler, and then you can look ahead and you can see bodies all over the place, people not being able to breathe, gasping for breath, you know, the climate changing. You can see, if you're a time traveler, all these things, and tell me roughly by what day or what year it becomes uninhabitable.
Well, you're speaking of some gross circumstance, and there's never a gross circumstance.
Are you reading the headlines?
I am. In fact, I'm aware of the climatology situation, not only in the past, but the present and...
Well, let me tell you, sir, when you start seeing headlines like climate change irreversible as Arctic sea ice fails to reform, that's important.
Yes, but Art, there's also an argument that...
What kind of arguments left?
Oh, I know you want to sensationalize the...
No. That's a real headline. That's from Britain now.
Hey, I know. I'm not arguing headline here with you, brother.
You're not. Okay.
I'm not.
All right,
but,
then.
But
then...
There's interesting things. Let me just take one. You want to go climate? Let's go climate. There's people who are saying, oh, my God, Greenland is melting.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. But there's
North Pole's
various
melting.
Hold on. There's various climatologists that have said to us, hey, the Vikings were gardening on Greenland. You know that, don't you, Art?
See, look, sir. Most climatologists now have gone off the bandwagon of trying to unsell this because they can't, because the truth is now in front of us. And so I would urge you, I'll tell you what, buddy, you get out and you talk to some of the people that you respect in climatology these days and see what kind of opinion you get. See how many dissenters you still find to the obvious fact that our climate is in very, very fast change. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Thank you for making it. Well, I'm sorry, your name?
My name is Jeff, and I'm listening on KTRS in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes, sir.
I have a quick comment about the Iraq war.
Oh, yes. You know why we went to war?
Well, it was all the deal about weapons of mass destruction and all that stuff. And
oh, yeah, but they weren't there.
Yeah, but then I guess if they weren't there, why did Bill Clinton attack Iraq in December of 98?
Well, because there was this threat, you know, to our president that we traced back there, and so.
Yeah.
So, but why did
but
we...
But anyway.
The question is, why did we go to war this time? What was it?
The weapons of mass destruction.
The ones that weren't there?
That supposedly were not there.
Yeah,
but one of the recent stories in the New York Times said that he lied to his generals saying that they were there, he had them.
You mean Saddam was lying to his own military? He couldn't do that because, see, the generals were in charge of that kind of stuff if it was even there.
According
to the New
York Times story.
I see.
But my main comment was...
Boy, if you're a general, you'd be really ticked, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, here come 500,000 Americans, you know, and the generals go, hey, okay, so where is our big weapons? And he'd do what? He'd say, well, you know, there's something about that I was going to mention to you.
Yeah.
We don't have them.
Well, it was way before my time.
Oh, that's a good question. Iran.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to go to war with Iran?
I think there's a little bit more of a world consensus with Iran than there was with Iraq. Because even France and Germany is on board with Iran, and they were against us with Iraq.
And you think they're on board, why?
Because there's obviously a more threat.
Well, see, the French are like on board now. But if it actually comes down to war, the French aren't going to go to war.
I guarantee
that. There's no chance of it. They'll riot about their guaranteed jobs.
There's no way we can invade Iran like we did Iraq. There's no way.
Not without a really good reason.
No.
Very large weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, and I think there could be a limited campaign to set their programs back a few years.
Who else do you think we had to go to war against?
I don't know, but I do know Iran. But what my main comment was, Iran is the...
Who do we really dislike?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, can...
Who do we really dislike?
Who don't we dislike, I guess, is the question.
Well, but it's a matter of degree. Who do we dislike the most?
Well, right now it seems like we're focusing our attention on Iran.
In other words, where do you cross the war threshold of dislike? Iran, yeah.
No one really wants war. But what's better, trying to prevent the spread of these weapons or allowing the spread of these weapons where they may eventually be used one day?
Yeah.
You know, it's like a lose-lose situation.
I'll say this. If we attack Iran and invade Iran, and then we get there and, like, they don't have any nukes, or at least, you know...
They're flaunting the stuff that they have.
Most of the way toward the nukes.
They are. They're flaunting the stuff that they have, so they're not hiding it.
Well, I mean, they said that about Saddam, too.
But then, of course, they're not having...
They absolutely assured the president, yes, sir, there are some terrible weapons there.
But I think at this point it's a lose-lose with Iran.
Think so?
Yeah, because right now I'm not old enough to remember. I wasn't even born during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
How about Korea? I know we're not happy with Korea. We're having a lot of earthquakes on the moon. Now, wait a minute. Earthquakes on the moon? as four kinds of them, actually deep moonquakes, 700 kilometers below the surface, vibrations from the impact of meteorites, well, that figures, right? A thermal quakes caused by the expansion of the frigid crust were first illuminated by the morning sun after 2 weeks of deep freeze night. Okay, well, that makes sense. Shallow moonquakes, only 20 or 30 kilometers below surface. Okay, well, the one that doesn't make sense is that it's seismically active at 700 kilometers below the surface. Now, that means there's a whole lot more going on the moon, in the moon, than we suspected by a long shot. Once again, don't forget tomorrow, you're going to hear from the NASA scientist on 60 Minutes who tried to warn Americans about global warming. He says the White House won't let him, and correspondent Scott Pelley has obtained documents that show just how much editing White House officials are doing that lessens and sometimes changes the very findings the scientists reported, the very findings. So, in other words, they're saying the White House is actually altering the results of what NASA is saying to them so that you won't have to be bothered by hearing that kind of thing. You remember the RFID that everybody was so freaked out about? RFID, oh, big brother. Researchers have discovered a way to infect RFID tags, that's radio frequency identification tags, with a computer worm, raising the disturbing prospect that products, ID cards, even pets could be used to spread malicious code. So your little ankle-biting dog could be a virus spreader, and it would spread from one RFID tag to another like the plague. I shouldn't laugh. You know, they come out, inevitably, man comes up with some sort of absolutely unsinkable, that's a great word, unsinkable, right? They don't say that about any ship anymore. They tried that, unsinkable. Of course, it sank. And so, you know, with regard to code and RFID tags and all the rest of it, cannot be broken, cannot be tampered with, absolutely safe, and then here we go. So, it's a never-ending battle, you know, but it'll still be like Navy 1, Pirate 0. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi there. How are you doing, Mr. Bell?
I'm okay.
It's an honor to talk to you. I just want to throw out a rhetorical question for people to ponder regarding what probably most of the people in this world are thinking and have been for a very long time.
Okay.
If America and a little handful of countries can and are allowed to have nuclear weapons, why the bleep can't anybody else? And I'm not supporting what any other country does or regime, but
yeah.
isn't it pretty obvious that these people have a right to look at us with a very skeptical eye?
Well, yeah. I mean, your argument has merit, but look, think of it this way. Nuclear weapons are endgame things. They're,
true.
You know, for mankind.
Yes.
They're endgame things. So,
should,
you know, we
like
got
that.
Them. The Russians got them. Now what? The Pakistanis, we think they have them. The Israelis, they have those ones that they don't have in the desert.
Right.
And on and on. So I guess the nations realized that they're so horrible that they really do have to stop proliferation. And if they don't, it'll be the end of all mankind. So if you're in charge of whether to try and stop nations from getting them or not, knowing that if you didn't, it would be the end of mankind, what would you do?
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
Exactly. Well, thank you for taking the call.
You're very welcome. Take care. I think the answer is you would try. You'd realize the power of these things to eliminate all. I mean, what if the pirates out there had nuclear weapons? Then it would have been Pirates 1, Navy 0. And it could have been the beginning of World War III and the end of mankind. So, I don't know. If you've got nuclear weapons and you know how bad they are, I guess you have to try to stop proliferation or else. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art, Tim from L.A.
Yes, sir.
I got a question. I've seen your movies, and now you brought up the story about...
Not plural. I only had one.
Yeah, I like that movie. Yeah. Plus, you're talking about global warming. So is the next progression then a deep freeze? And
certainly entirely possible. The premise in the movie, sir, is also not only possible, but actually more or less underway right now. The current that keeps England and Europe, most of Europe, temperate, is beginning to splinter and stop.
So will it affect just the North Pole or North and South?
Just the North Pole.
Just the North Pole.
We're talking about all of Europe here.
Right. So there wouldn't be like a deep freeze on the Southern Hemisphere then?
Now, if you're talking about... See, we're talking of several different things. The ocean current...
Sorry.
The ocean current is what, for example, would freeze Europe. The fact that the North Pole is melting...
Right.
And what ultimate consequences that'll have for man, we're not really sure yet. But, you know, if all the ice at the north part of the world is suddenly gone, you just know it's going to have some effect.
Right.
Definitely. What do you think?
I'm just scared.
You've seen a lot of pictures of the world, right? And there's always all that ice cap up there.
Right.
And if that's gone, that's probably important.
Very. But I was wondering also, will the same thing happen in the Antarctic? So that means that the safest place to be on Earth then is on the equator. Then
we've already lost several ice sheets in the Antarctic, and some of the big ones are considered to be unstable. Now, when I say big ones, I mean the ones that are on land. The ones that are already in water is no big deal. It's like ice cubes in water. You know, you don't get more. But when the big ones on land begin to melt. That also, sir, is very important.
Because I have relatives in Japan, so I guess they're in trouble then, huh?
Well, people in Miami would be in trouble. You know, I mean, New Orleans, for example, would be in trouble, even without a hurricane.
God, this is scary. Well, thank you very, very much, Art, for having me on the air.
It does seem scary, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And what's even scarier to me, or just as scary, is that, and I'm not a bush basher. Honest to God, I'm not. But the administration's attitude about what's going on with our climate is reprehensible. I mean, it's absolutely reprehensible. I understand why they have the attitude. He's an oil guy. But, I mean, really, these headlines are getting very disturbing. Very. When they begin using words like irreversible, it should be getting your attention and theirs. Instead, they're editing stuff. Again, watch 60 Minutes tomorrow night. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. How are you?
I'm okay, sir.
Just wanted to say, regarding your cats, I've discovered something with my cats that keep them very occupied, and it was something that I never would have expected. But me and my girlfriend just recently bought a Russian tortoise, a baby Russian tortoise, and we have her in a tank, and they are fascinated. It's just like their nature channel.
Well, that's because the tortoise moves slowly but surely.
I think they forget it's a real living thing.
Oh, but you don't want to let them get at that tortoise.
Oh, well, they don't have claws. But
but they do have teeth. And,
hell yeah,
and trust me, they would torture that tortoise. So,
just wanted to say, Art, I want to thank you for staying on this subject here the last few weeks. I think it's a very important subject.
And, well, somebody in this country has got to be talking about it.
And that's the thing. There's not enough discussion about it. I mean, to me, I don't see, you know, what there really could be done. I don't know what you could do. That's not my field by any means.
Nor is it mine, sir. And I admit, I have no idea what to do. And I don't even know that if we were to stop burning all oil right now, that it would have any effect whatsoever on the changing weather.
Yeah. Well, I think you and George both do a great service by covering this quite a bit. But the reason I called tonight is I'm in Dayton, Ohio. My name is Brad, by the way.
Yes, Brad.
And I've not been here long. I've visited a lot when I was a child, but I've only been here maybe 2 years. And I am right down the street from Wright Pad. As a matter of fact, above my home is all military airspace. And I've heard stories. You know, I know a lot of the things that I guess have allegedly went on. As far as maybe, you know, like Roswell and them transporting the craft to Wright Field.
Yeah. Is there a lot of you know, talk that goes on in your area about what's going on at Wright Pat?
That's the point. There's really hardly any there. Sometimes you will, you know, talk to somebody and, you know, oh, well, I heard they've got some, you know, underground hangars and all this. But for the most part, there's really not much of a discussion. And you see a lot of MPs, you see a lot of different military craft overhead. And, you know, you can see all of that. But, you know, I've listened to your show for a little while now, and I've heard, you know, quite a bit of mention of Wright Pat on your show. And my question to you was, just based on your knowledge, what do you think they've got going on there? And I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. Well, what I see is a small cell, and I see a creature with large pointy ears restlessly moving about the cell. Now, this creature is probably about middle age now for an alien. And, yeah, we're still keeping them. Hell, sir, the answer is I have no idea what they've got there, any more than I know what's right next to me here at Area 51. And strangely here, not a lot of people talk about it. I mean, we have, you know, Area 51 fireworks. There's a fireworks shop named after Area 51, and we're right adjacent to this infamous site, and I don't have the slightest idea what's there, any more than I do what's at Wright Pat. Probably something, though. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art, this is Adam from San Juan Islands, Washington.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of facilities, I didn't know how much you knew about the Southwest Regional Spaceport they're putting down in Ufam, New Mexico. This is a project sort of gone through Richard Branson, Sir Richard Branson, who also has gotten together with the state of New Mexico and the XPRIZE Foundation to build this facility kind of through Virgin Galactic. I'm not sure exactly how all the groups have put this together, but state of New Mexico signed off an agreement for $250 million in December, and they're going to do space tourism down there, including rocket races and other things.
Well, I'm jealous. I wish they'd done it here in Nevada.
Well, they chose... I guess they were shooting between somewhere back east, New Mexico and California, and they picked New Mexico for the clear weather and clear airspace.
I don't blame them at all. I'd like to have to launch something up through L.A. Plus, you know, the Californians are so, I mean, you'd never get authorization for something like that. But you come here to the sensible, what I call the sensible West, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, now you're talking.
Yeah, too much air traffic.
Yeah.
And clear space out there. One other thing I was going to ask you, too. I haven't heard a show about the Spaceship One project at all, but I was curious, and I know you like contact information. If you could ever get a hold of Bert Rattan, the designer of Spacecraft One.
Love to interview him.
And right now they're building five of these things that can hold, I believe, six or seven passengers, one pilot and five or six passengers apiece.
Hey, I'm curious. How much would you pay to take a ride in that thing?
Well, for my income, it's going to be a while. I mean, I'm 22, by the way. I've been listening to your show since I was about 11 years old. So, you know, I've got a shot at it, of course, and I'm going to definitely go down to Ufam. We've got a place down there in New Mexico in Tejeros area, pretty close to Richard Hoagland, actually. But when we do go back down south, I'm definitely going to go check that out.
Because I think I'd do it.
Yeah. Well, he's got a really good safety record. Bert Rattan's designs are very interesting. They have extra wing space on everything. They're very efficient, and so far he's got a really great safety record.
Well, I hope it's going to be affordable. Thank you. Would I take a ride to the edge of space? And what would I pay? That's an interesting question. I suppose it would vary. How about you? How interested would you be in taking a ride to the edge of space? I had the honor of riding in the Concorde. That's as close as I've been, about 65,000 feet. Now, it's pretty cool up there, I'll tell you that, in more ways than one. But you can see the curvature of the Earth at 65,000 feet. You can see the very, very black above you and the purple beside you. And that's near the edge of the edge. And I thought that was pretty cool. But going all the way up to the edge... First-time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Robert.
Yes, Robert. Where are you?
I'm calling from the East Coast, Boston.
Yes, sir. Boston.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to take you on with the war.
Home of Denny Crane. The war,
of
yes.
Who?
Denny Crane.
Who's Denny Crane?
Don't ever ask that. Doesn't matter, sir. Go ahead. Take me on about the war.
Well, you tell me where you stand. I don't know where you stand.
I stand confused.
Okay.
Confused about why we did it.
Now, you stated before, why did we start the war?
Yeah, I puzzled about why. Why do you think?
No. You said, why did we start the war?
Well, yeah, why?
We didn't start the war. We started in 1991, sir.
No, what this one, though?
No. This is a continuation. You forget there's a beginning,
no,
a middle, and an end.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No,
Art.
You can't sell that
Art,
one here.
Fact,
come on,
Art.
You can't sell that.
Art, the fact.
Give me a
fact.
Break. Come on.
No,
we
Art,
we
Art.
Declared victory and we left.
Art, the facts. What
sir,
are
the facts are we left.
No.
We war was over.
No,
we left.
No, the United Nations. Oh, yeah. Remember them.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the United Nations. Do you like them?
No.
Let's talk about them.
Let's talk about them. Go ahead.
All right. Now, the weapons of mass destruction.
Yes. Go ahead.
What about those?
They're there. I guarantee you. And we'll find them.
Well, but we actually found Saddam himself. He was a little hole in the ground. And we found him. And we've had much longer now. And these weapons of mass destruction, by their very nature, are big. Yes.
If I give you 7 months to do something, I guarantee you could hide it in the state of Nevada. If I gave you a 7-month start, I guarantee you. So let's assume.
But wait a minute, sir.
What?
There's this big open question.
Go ahead.
If you're Saddam Hussein
and you've got
half a million U.S. troops coming at you, right? The biggest air show, shock and awe, and all the rest of it coming at you. See, if you have those weapons,
go ahead.
That's when you're going to use them, because otherwise, you know, you're dead meat.
Well, how do you know that?
Because we're the United States, sir, and we're going to kick his butt, which, of course, we did.
And who started this war, though?
This one?
No,
we did.
You can't.
No, yes, I can. Oh, yeah, no, sir, I can.
Oh, you can't disconnect that.
This war is not.
You're afraid of the truth, Art.
No.
I know you want to go to Star Wars, sir.
You are the one bending history here, brother. We had our war. We left.
No.
We won. We kicked them out of Kuwait. We did exactly what we said we did.
Art, you're forgetting a component, and there was a component why we left.
And that was
they had to follow certain things, right? Yes or no?
What now? What now?
1991, Art. 1991.
What about it?
When the war stopped in 1991.
Okay, why did we go to war back then? It was because of the invasion of Kuwait and probable invasion of Saudi Arabia, right?
It's about oil, Art.
Oh.
Yes, Art, I'm not afraid.
Did I hear you correctly?
Art,
would you repeat that, please?
Art, I'm not afraid to say it's about oil. Art, did you walk to work today?
Say it again.
Did you walk to
say
work
it.
Today?
It's about oil.
Art, are you telling me that you want the people with a mindset that would kill themselves like they do in control of the oil?
If it comes rolling off your lips so easily, then how come it can't come rolling off the lips of our president?
It's about oil. You're not going to do anything. You want it both ways. That's not against the war. You're just against Bush.
No, I'm not against Bush.
And you
know what else? I'm not even against the war, sir. As a matter of fact, if they'd come out and they'd actually said something like, I don't know, we need oil. We absolutely have got to have oil.